That's not a bad idea. That's not a bad idea at all. That's actually a really good idea. That's not a bad idea at all. That's not such a bad idea. That's actually a very good idea. That might be a good idea. How are you doing there? Welcome back to Babylon Talmud. Today we're studying daf. Ooh, should I roll up my sleeves? Maybe not. Maybe I'll try with that. I don't know. We'll see. Welcome back to Babylon Talmud. Today we're studying daf lamed aleph, daf 31 of Masechta Bava Metzia. Friends. It's a big old daf. It's not really hard. It's not really hard. It's somewhat interesting. Okay, we're gonna start on. Actually, I feel like there's actually a big yesoda here on this daf. Big. Anyways, we're gonna start on daf lamed amud beis. And here's the thing: I gotta figure out where we're gonna stop. I know where I'm gonna stop now. Since, but right before Shabbos, I should have enough time to do the whole daf. If I don't, then that means it's gonna be super long. But I don't think it will be. But I think maybe I'll actually do this in two sittings. I'll just do like the last shtickle. Maybe in the second, I'll basically do the whole daf, and then there's just a little bit at the end that I didn't get to yet, and then it'll take us to a Mishnah. So I think maybe I'll do that in a separate sitting. I'll just wrap it up separately, just so that we can get this whole daf up to the Mishnah in one recording. I think that's what I'm gonna do. I think that's probably what I'm gonna do. Yeah, it's probably a very good idea. Okay, so we're gonna start at the Mishnah on daf Lamud Amud Beis. Okay, like, I don't know, 15 lines from the bottom or so. Okay, here we go. Is my beard wet? Why would my beard be wet? Is my hands wet? Maybe my hands are wet. We got work to do. Ezu Aveda, says the Mishnah, what? This is awesome. What is considered an Aveda? Okay. Baderech, if he sees a donkey or a cow grazing on the way, Ainzo Aveda. That's not Aveda. You don't have to do a Shavas Aveda. I'll tell you why this is pretty awesome. The reason why this is pretty awesome is because I left my house earlier and I was going to the wine store and I noticed there next to the garbage there was a chair and somebody was looking at it, meaning, no, what happened? You tell me. Clearly, somebody left a chair there for, it's Hefker. Whoever wants it could take it. The interesting thing is, I'm learning Eilu Metzius and I'm walking by. And I'm thinking, wait, but, do I need to like find the owner of that chair and return it? I was like trying to think, like, why can I take that? It's not a lost object, right? It's not, I don't know, I was like trying to, like, we haven't really talked about scenarios where like somebody left something. We've talked about where somebody put something there and therefore you can't take it because somebody left it there with the intention to retrieve it. We've talked about that. We've talked about where people lost things. And can you take it or do you have to, announce it? We haven't really talked about where, like, what if somebody just leaves something by the garbage and whoever wants it can take it. I don't think we've really talked about that. So it sounds to me though, which is funny because like I got home. Like literally when I got home from the wine store, I was like reviewing this and I was like, wait, this like is, I think this is like exactly what I was thinking, right? Like, so meaning not every single time, and this is the point I want to make from this Mishnah, which is not every time, right? What does the Mishnah say? It says, Ezohi Aveda, what's considered something that I actually have to return? Not every single thing that you see without an owner next to it is something that you have to return. So we're saying, so Ezu Aveda, what is a lost object that would be considered under the umbrella of Hashavas Aveda that you have to, return it? So Motzo Chomer Opara Royim Baderech Ein Zo Aveda. So if you see a donkey or a cow grazing next to the road, you don't need, this is not something that you have to now take and find the owner and make announcements and the whole thing. No, the owner is like, whoever owns it is like cool with the animals grazing there by the road. You don't, and like it's okay, you could chill out. Meaning it's interesting. Like, there's a certain assumption that, like, the owner knew what, whoever owns it knew what they were doing by in this case, allowing the cow or the donkey to graze. By the case of the chair by the garbage dump, you know, they left it there. They were mafkir it. They know what they were doing. You know, you can. So, I mean, the case of the cow and stuff, you can't take it because it's not hefker. But over here, you know, he was mafkir it, and therefore you can take it. I assume that's pshat or at least something similar. Fine. So, enzo aved chomer v'kelav afuchin. However, if you see a donkey and its load is flipped over, para rotzo ben akrom, or a cow running in a vineyard, where, as we're going to see later, it can get hurt. Harei zoved. Okay, this is already a different story. That would be considered something that you'd have to return. That would be ashavas aveda. Echzira uvarcha. If he keeps on returning it, right? He returns the donkey or whatever. He runs away again. He returns it again. Afilo abava chmisha paimim chayv lachzira. Even if this happens 4 times, 5 times, you keep on returning it. Shenemar, as the pasuk says, hoshev teshive. You shall surely return it, even if it means over and over, repeatedly. Oyobotel misela. What if he was, what if he was going to stop what he was doing? You know, he was working on an hourly basis. He was getting paid by the hour. He stopped what he was doing in order to do Ashava Saveda. Lo yomar lo, he can't say to the loser, tain li sela, give me my full wages that I was making one sela an hour. And I want you to pay me, you know, I want you to pay me that sela. So no, it doesn't work like that. Elenos no schar kefoil. No, he pays him he pays him for his time, but he's going to pay him for his time as how much you would pay somebody to return something to you. That's very different than how much would you pay somebody who's a lawyer or something. You know, those wages are going to be very different. So he only has to pay him. He only needs to pay him, you know, the amount that somebody would charge to return something. Im yesh, or to walk something to somebody else. Im yesh sham bezdin. Now, but if there's a bezdin over there, if there are 3 people there, so you could say to them, masn bifnei bezdin, you could say, look, I'm only returning this if I'm going to be paid my normal wage. So basically, it makes some kind of a condition. Where am I? So im yesh sham bezdin, if there's a court there, masn bifnei bezdin, he makes a condition before bezdin. So maybe the Gemara is going to explain this. Maybe this is the shtickle that I haven't done yet. But somehow he like makes a stipulation before bezdin that look, I'm only going to return this lost object if I get paid my hourly wage that I get paid for my work, not for just returning a lost object. So if there are 3 people there and 3 people are bezdin and he says to them, look, I'm only going to return this under the condition that I get paid my regularly hour rate. So then he's allowed to do that. Now, who exactly is going to guarantee this, right? I mean, who's agreeing to pay him this? I'm not exactly sure. Im ain sham bezdin. Now, if there's no bezdin over there for him to make the stipulation before them, bifnei mi yasne, so he can't. Who can he make the stipulation in front of? Shelo kodem. The answer is nobody. So therefore, he continues doing his own work, and he won't need to. And he doesn't need to stop what he's doing to return this. Now I'm going to roll up my sleeves. Now says the Gemara, otukolhani daminon lava veda avu ua. So this Mishnah had started out by saying, Ezu Yaveda, what's considered a lost object? What do you mean, what's considered a lost object? We've been talking about lost objects from the beginning of the Perek. Peris Mefuzarin, Mos Mefuzarin, all that kind of stuff. All of a sudden, on Daf Lamed, after we've been learning Eilim Mitzvahs for a week already, they decide, okay, what's considered a lost object? What do you, I don't understand. What about everything we've talked about until now? So I'm reviewed, says Reviewed Ochi Kamen, this is what it's saying. Ezo hi klal. What is kind of a general rule that we can apply to what would be considered a lost object that you would be chayev to do the whole Ashava Saveda thing? So Matzachomer Ufara, Rayim Baderech, if he finds a donkey or a cow grazing by the road, Einzo Aveda, this would not be considered something that you have to do Ashava Saveda for. Velo Mechayev, there's no chiyuv Ashava Saveda. Chomer V'chelev Afuchim, If you find a donkey with its load flipped over, part of Yerotza ben Akromim, or you see a cow that's running in a vineyard, Harizu Aveda, this is something that is considered lost and umichayva, and you need to return it to its owner. Ula Olam, now Frekti Gemara, when we say that if you see a cow grazing on the road, you don't have to do Ashavas Aveda forever? If every single day you see this cow grazing by the road, you should never think, wait, maybe I should actually return this? So I'm reviewed on my rab, says reviewed on my rab for 3 days. If like on day four you see, wait, this is strange. All of a sudden I'm seeing this cow every single day, I should probably make sure that it gets back to its owner. Hey Chidami, now what's the scenario? Ibele lusa, bele losa, bele vasa. Afilu chada shaitanami. Look, if you're seeing this animal grazing on the side of the road at night, okay, even you don't have to wait 3 days. I mean, it's clearly you should return that immediately. Ibiyamam, and if it's during the day, afilu tuvanami lo. I mean, even if you see this animal grazing during the day, every day, forever, who cares? It's just grazing during the day. That's normal. You don't need to return it. Lo tzricha dehava chazila bikadmasu v'cheshchisa. Okay, so I think what it means is that you're seeing it kind of like in these like awkward hours that are a little bit unclear, like a little bit right before it gets light or right when it gets dark, things that are like are a little bit strange but not necessarily entirely strange, right? Amina nisra suwer my tlasa yom. So for the first 3 days, amina nisra muye suamila venafka. Okay, look, something happened and it got out beseder. Tve, but more than that, aveda he. It is considered a if after that it's like, all right, you just return this animal. Tanam Yochi, we also learned in the Bryce that there's this 3 day thing. Motzatalis Vikardum, if you find a cloak or an axe, Besratya, in some like public area, Ufara Rotza ben Akram, or a cow that is running in the vineyards, Harizu Aveda, it is a lost object, and you gotta return it. Talis bitzad goder kardom bitzad goder. If you see a cloak next to a fence or a axe next to a fence, ufaroe bin a krumim, or a cow grazing among the vineyards, einzo aveda, it is not considered in aveda. Gimel yom zeacharze arizo aveda. But if you see this for 3 days straight, then it would be considered aveda, and you would have to return it. Ma'amayim sheshotvin. And if you see water that is coming in the direction of your friend's field and it's going to flood the field, so put up some kind of a dam, try to stop it. Put up some kind of a fence, try to stop the water from flooding your friend's field. Rava says that when it says, any lost object you have to return, it even includes, a friend who's going to lose his field, that his friend's field is going to get ruined, you should save his field from that. Oh, I can bring you a brisa that supports you, the brisa that we just learned. That if you see water that's going to come and flood your friend's field, you should dam it. Haha. You should try to stop it. So you should try to stop it and prevent it from ruining your friend's field. Also, you see that you should prevent your friend's field from being ruined. On my lay, so Ravi responds to Rav Chananya, imishum ho lo tesai'i, that it actually isn't necessarily a proof, because Achav Ma'iskinim, we could say that in the Brisa when it says you should dam the water or whatever. There are sheaves of wheat in the field. So yeah, if there are sheaves of wheat on the field, so obviously you have to return those sheaves, and yeah, you want to prevent them from getting ruined. So you could say it's talking about that there are sheaves that are still attached to the ground and need to be sustained from the ground. So my detema may have thought came the tzricha la'ara ki gufa the ara. Damian, maybe I think that would be treated like the land. And Taka, maybe you would say that you don't need to save the land. Kamash Mulan is saying that, no, the sheaves in this context, you do have to save. So Rav is saying that this isn't necessarily a proof that you have to save the land. It could Taka be saying that you don't necessarily need to save the land. You only need to save the sheaves that are on the land. That even though they still need the land, they're considered that you still need to save them. Maybe you could say that that's what's going on in the Bryce, and it's not necessarily a support for Rav who says you have to save somebody else's property. All right. Matzah, chomer, ufara, v'chulei. Okie dokie. Okie dokie. Okie dokie. Okie dokie, okie dokie, okie dokie, okie dokie. Hagufa kasha, says the Gemara, this is inherently contradictory. Omart motza chomru for roin baderech, einzo aveda roin baderech, hu delo avo aveda, rotzo baderech, viroi ben akrom, avio aveda, a mesefa chomru vichilav afuchim, ufar rotzo ben akrom, arezo aveda, rotzo ben akrom, hu de avio aveda, rotzo baderech, roi ben achromim, einzo aveda. Okay, chever, here's the kasha. Our Mishnah had said, of course, that if you see a cow or a donkey grazing on the road, so we say it's not a lost object. You don't have to do a Shavas Aveda. You don't have to do a Shavas Aveda. Okay. And then we said that if you see a cow running in a vineyard, that is considered a lost, and you would have to return the cow. So here's the thing. We have a cow running through a vineyard and a cow grazing on the road. So we have running, grazing, road, vineyard. So first we say that if it's grazing on the road, it is not considered lost. The implication being that if it's grazing in a vineyard or if it's running on a road, either of those scenarios would be considered lost. But then we said that if it's running in a vineyard, it's considered lost, implying that if it's running on the road or grazing in a vineyard, it would not be considered lost. So when it comes to running on the road or grazing in the vineyard, we're getting mixed messages. From the Reisha, it implies that it would be considered lost. From the Sefer, it implies it would not be considered lost. And our brains explode. Okay. So let's read that again, much slower. Hagufa kasha, this is inherently contradictory. On the one hand, Omart matza chomer ufara roin baderech einzo aveda. On the one hand, you said, if you find a donkey or a cow grazing on the road, I hope derech means road, let's just say that, on the road, einzo aveda. So this is, or by the road, that's a good compromise, by the road, einzo aveda, this is not considered a lost object that you would need to return. Roin baderech hu delo avu aveda, grazing by the road is not considered lost. Harotza baderech, but if it's running by the road, viroe ben akrom, or if it's grazing in a vineyard, both of those scenarios, havya aveda, would be considered lost, and you would have to return it. But ema seifa. What about the seifa? Chomer v'chelo afuchim. Okay, a donkey with its load flipped over. Ufara rotza ben akromim, and a cow that is running in the vineyards. Havya aveda is considered. You have to do a shavas aveda. Rotza ben akromim hu davya aveda. Yeah, if it's running in a vineyard. That's where it's a lost. That's where it's considered lost, and you have to return it. Harotza baderech, but if it's running by the road, viroe ben akrom, or grazing in a vineyard, einzo aveda. It's not considered lost. So what's pshat in these two scenarios? Running by the road or grazing in a vineyard, is it considered a lost? Is it considered lost like the Reisha would have you think, or is it considered not lost like the Sefer would have you think? Hoo hoo. Amrabai says, Abai, Yagid Olav Reo, the thunder will say about it. Alright. What is, was Rashi saying anything about this? Okay. Be'etzim, it means that one can teach about the other. Right? That one can be implied from the other. Taneroe Baderech. So we say that grazing by the road is not considered an aveda. Well, guess what? And also grazing in a vineyard would not be considered an aveda. Tana rotza ben akromim. And when it says running in the vineyards, the havya aveda is considered an aveda. Vuhadin lirotza baderech. The same thing would be for if it's running on the road. So, and whenever it's grazing, it would not be considered an aveda. Whenever it is running, it would be considered an aveda. Amalei Rava says Tabai, Iyagid Olav Reo. If that's really the case, that we're saying that that we can learn, we can extrapolate one or apply one to the other. That when we're talking about grazing by the road, the same thing would be grazing in a vineyard, and we're talking about running in a vineyard, the same thing would be running on the road. So, lesne kilta v'choshkin chamirta. Well, if that's the case, then the Mishnah is listing the wrong things, is giving the wrong examples. If we're saying that both, when it's grazing by the road, as well as when it's grazing in a vineyard, it is not an aveda. And when it's running in a vineyard, as well as when it's running on the road, it is considered an aveda. Well, then why is the Mishnah teaching about grazing by the road and running in a vineyard? Teach the opposite ones, and for sure I'll be able to know the other ones. Right? From Kal Vachomer. Lesnei rotzo baderech dehavi aveda. Say that even when... rotzo baderech dehavi aveda. Say that when it is running on the road, it is considered lost. V'chol shekin derotzo ben akromim. Certainly if it's running in a vineyard where it can get hurt, So certainly there it's going to be considered lost. And say that grazing in a vineyard is not considered lost. And certainly where it's just kind of like grazing by the side of the road, which I guess is a more appropriate place, it would be not be considered lost. So Rava is not super excited about Abaye's approach because it just doesn't, according to Rav, it's not adding up so good, right? To apply one to the other, but if that's the case, then the Mishnah really should have given the other examples. So, Elo Amar Rav is rather says, Rav, Rotze lo kasha, right? That the fact that, you know, the Reisha implies running on the way, running by the road is considered lost, but the Seifa says running by the road is not considered lost, that's no problem. Hada apa legabe davra, it depends. If it's running towards the woods, away from town, well, yeah, then it's lost. If it's running towards town, then it's not considered lost. And also, grazing in the vineyard, initially we said would be, right from the Reisha, it sounds like it would be considered lost. From the Seifa, it sounds like it wouldn't be considered lost. That's also no problem. When we're talking about lost or not lost, it's different depending on if we're talking about losing the property, i.e. damaging the property, the vineyard, or if we're talking about losing the animal itself. Is the animal itself lost? Where am I? Ki katoni roe baderech lo avyu aveda. When we say grazing by the road would not be considered lost. Haroe ben akromim havyu aveda. But grazing in a vineyard would be considered lost by avedas karka. That's talking about the property, that the property is going to get ruined. Michikatone rotzo ben akromim havyo aveda. And when we say that running in a vineyard is considered lost, haroi ben akromim, but grazing in a vineyard lo havyo aveda is not considered lost. Baveda's gufa is talking about the animal itself would not be considered lost. De rotzo ben akromim maskva, veroi ben akromim lo maskva. That if it's running in the vineyards, it can get hurt. On the vines, I guess. But grazing in the vineyard won't get hurt. V'roi ben akromim. But when it's grazing in the vineyard, nihidilo maskva, granted that it might not get hurt, but typically mishum avedas karka, but it's going to ruin the vineyard. So why is that okay? So bidikusi. Well, it's talking about the vineyard of a kusi, and it wouldn't be a problem. V'tepukle mishum avedas gufa. Yeah, but still, I mean... If the cow is grazing in somebody's vineyard, well, that somebody might kill the cow. They might kill the cow, so you should try to get it back to its owner so it doesn't get killed. Well, it's a place where they first warn before killing. They would warn the owner, say, "Hey, owner guy, your cow's in my vineyard. One more time and it's dead." Okay, maybe they already warned him and now it's time for it to be dead. Well, if they had already warned the owner of the cow and he didn't really pay so much mind to it, he didn't care and he let it go back to the vineyard, well, certainly that was an intentional, it was intentional, and you would not need to return it in that case. Okay, so now this next big chunk is not particularly difficult. So we say if you returned it, but then it ran away again. You returned it again, ran away again. Even four or five times, you still have to keep returning it. One of the rabbis says to Rava, maybe when it says by Hashavas Aveda, Hoshev Teshivim, maybe Hoshev means you return it once, Teshivim means you return it a second time, but that's it. Once already, it's ran away twice, forget it, you don't have to keep doing it. Amalei, so Rava responds, look, Hashev afilu kuf paim in mashma. It says Hashev, that right, that means, you know, even if you have to return it 100 times, you know, it doesn't matter. Keep on returning it. Teshivim, when it says teshivim, ein li elu leveso, all I know is that you return it to the person's house. Leginoso, lechavosu minayin. How do I know that I can even return it to his garden or to his, what's a churva? Like an abandoned house or something? Tavilom teshivim mikol makom. It says return it, right? Hashev teshivim. However, you return it even the ginoso and the churvaso. Hey chida, I mean, now what are we talking about? Either mintra, if the gino or the churva is guarded, pshita, obviously you could return it there. So either lo mintra, and if it's not guarded, if it's exposed, well then am I, why are you allowed to return it to there? It can just, it's not protected at all. So the olam de mintra, so it is talking about where it's protected, vakamash blon, and what it's teaching us is the loba inan das bailim, and you don't need das bailim. Whenever you return something, right? For example, and if you borrow something, you return it to its owner. The owner needs to know that you've returned it to them. Which is not the case by Ashavas Aveda, Shatari Ribsa, Ashavas Harbe. The Torah says, Hashav Teshivim, you shall surely return it, that it even comes to include where the owner doesn't know about it. I'm imagining, you know, something like, you know, if a person lives in a building with a doorman or something, you can leave it. If you're doing Ashavas Aveda, you can leave it with the doorman. So it's protected. Right, there's somebody, you know, keep, you know, making sure it's protected, but you know, the owner might not know about it. But Ashavas Aveda, as long as you know, as long as it's given back in a protected manner, that would be enough. Shalach to Shalach. This is talking about Shiluach Hakein, sending away a mother bird before taking the baby bird. So Shalach to Shalach. So Ema. Shalach chadazim, teshalach trezimne. When it says send it away, that means one time. Teshalach is the second time, right? So, and if he keeps on sending it away and it keeps on coming back, you already did it twice. You could just take the babies without sending it away a third time. So, amale shalach afilu meo paime mashma. So, I think this is probably still Rava. So he says that, look, shalach means even if you have to send it away 100 times, send it away. Mashma Tishalach, when it says you shall surely send away ein li'elot l'davar ashus. Well, all I would know without that is that, you know, if you just want the birds to eat it or whatever, so then send away the mother. But l'davar mitzvah minayin, how do I know that even if it's for a mitzvah, you'd have to send it away? And if I understand correctly, I looked up in the art school, if I understand correctly, I think maybe it's talking about, like, for example, for a mitzorah. So if you need two birds, so I guess the baby bird and the mother bird you want to use, you wouldn't just be able to take both of them. You'd have to send away the mother, take the baby, and then you could take the mother. I think maybe that's what it was saying. So tamalom teshalach mikomakum, you shall surely send it away. Even for a mitzvah, you still have to send it away. Amalei ahu midirabbanan l'rava. One of the rabbis said to the rava, ve'ema ocheach chada zimna tocheach trei zimne. When it comes to rebuking a fellow, so maybe you only have to give him tochacha twice. Once you've done it twice, you're done. So Rav responds, when it says to, is rebuke the right word? I don't know. Give feedback? Feedback, that's nice. Give feedback. Even if you have to give the same feedback even 100 times, you do it. Okay, so I would know only that a teacher gives feedback to his student. How do I know that even a student can give such feedback to his teacher? You shall surely feedback mikol makom. Azov tazov imo. This talks about if you see a fellow whose donkey is collapsing under its burden, so you shall surely help your fellow unload the donkey. Ain the ella bailav imo. All I know is that I need to help him out if he's going to, right, if the owner is also helping to unload the donkey, so I can help and we'll do it together. She'ein ba'lev imo minayin. How do I know that even if the owner is not, you know, contributing, I still need to do it? Tamalama azov tazov mikomakom. So it says you shall surely unload. Hokim sokim imo, you shall surely load, right? If your friend needs help loading his donkey, you shall surely help him. Ein li ela ba'lev imo. All I know is if the owner is going to you know, help and do it with you. Shein ba levi mu'minayin. How do I know that even if he's not going to take part in it, you still need to do it? Tam lomar hakum sakum mikol makum. Shall surely do it. V'lam le mikhtav prika, v'lam le mikhtav ti'ino. How come I need both the scenario of unloading as well as loading? Tzvichi, I need both of them. Dikas v'achmona prika, if we'd only have the scenario of unloading, I understand why in that case I need to help him unload it because there's tzar bai lechayim, right? Clearly the donkey is collapsing. So quick, help unload the donkey. And secondly, the longer the donkey continues to collapse, the more potential there is for long-term damage. So, and which would be a financial, which would negatively affect the owner financially. So therefore, I understand why in that case you should help him unload the donkey. Aval ti'ino, but loading the donkey, t'lav tzar ba'al lechayim, ika, that if you don't help, there's not going to be any tzar ba'al lechayim, v'lo chesun kis ika, and if you don't help, he's not going to lose, it's not going to cause him to lose any money. So, emalo, so I might think I don't need to help him. So therefore we say, no, you still do need to help him there. V'yashminon ti'ino. And if you would have loading the animal, mishum de besacher, because he can get paid for helping load the animal. Have a prika, but unloading the bechinom, which is free, emalo. So maybe I don't need to help. If after all, it's only for free. So tzricha, therefore we say, therefore the Torah teaches us specifically about unloading as well as loading. And according to Reb Shimon, who says that no, even loading the animal is for free. You can't get paid for that if you're helping out in this manner. So then why do you need both unloading and loading, right? So in that case, just teach me, what was it? Unloading, and certainly I would know loading, right? That was the one. If I know unloading, I don't know, I'm confused now. If I know unloading, no, if a carrot, I think, right? Teach me loading. Yeah. What? I don't know, I'm confused. Wait, what? Well, the whole thing was that we said, well, since you can get paid for unloading, so I know that, right? What? Now, I just confused myself. Am I seriously getting confused right now? The whole thing was, if I only had loading, that's because I can get paid, but I would need to teach unloading, where I can't get paid. Now, according to Shimon, who says that for loading, you can't get paid, so then why do I need both of them? I guess teach me loading and then certainly unloading. Would that be the point? Yeah. Right? Right? If we only add, initially we were going to say if we only add loading, so I would say, yeah, that's because you're getting paid, but unloading not, so therefore I need to say unloading also. But if you're not getting paid for loading and we're saying you have to load, then certainly you would have to unload because there's tzar bai lechayim and all that stuff. So just say loading. Yeah, I think that's probably pshat, right? So why do you need both? So the answer is that Reb Shimon d'amar avtiina b'chinam smaykel emeim. So Reb Shimon lo masaymei kra. So according to Reb Shimon, it's because the pasuk is not clear which one's which, right? Meaning all it says, what does it say? It says azov tazov and hakim sakim. How do you know which one is unloading and which one is loading? So if you only had one of them, so I might think that that's, you know, unloading because it's tzar bai lechayim, but you don't actually have to help load. So lamali lemichtav, where am I? So lamali lemichtav ani tarti. Wait, what? I'm losing it. Lebshimid lo mesayim eikra lamali lemichtav ani tarti v'lamali lemichtav. Dude, I'm so lost. Lebshimid amar aftina b'chinam ma'ikel. Maybe lebshimid lo mesayim eikra. Period. Right, because according to Reb Shimon, the verses are not clear which one's loading, which one's unloading, and if I only had one of them, so then I wouldn't know which one it is. I mean, I think it's just unloading. I wouldn't know about loading, so therefore we need to have both to say, okay, well clearly one is loading, one of them is unloading. Now why do I need loading and unloading and also Hashava Saveda? Can I just have one? So tzricha, we need them. The ikaz of Rachmana Hani Tarte, if we'd only have loading and unloading, mishum de tzaira demara isa tzaira dida isa, because there is pain to both of them, right? Meaning, let's say you have a donkey that is collapsing under its load, so I can understand why I have to help out, because the tsar bar lechaim, it's painful for the donkey, and also the owner, right? Is, you know, he's in trouble, so you have to help out both of them. How about aveda the tsar demara isa v'tsar dida lesa? But by an aveda, by lost object, which is obviously, you know, negative for the person who lost it, but the object itself is inanimate, or it's an animal, right? It makes no difference. So lesa, so emalos, I would say maybe I don't need to return it. V'yashminu aveda, if I would only have a lost object, mishum delesi lemara baida, because I don't have, right, because the owner isn't there, so I have to do it. Aval hane tarte, but by loading and unloading, the isi lemara baida, that the owner is there, emalo, maybe I don't have to do it. Tzricha, therefore we need all of these scenarios. Mosuma samake, when we say so if somebody kills somebody else, so then we kill the killer. So ainli ela b'misa k'suvabo, so all I know is by the death that is written by it, which is the sword. Minanchim I ato yochel amiso b'misa k'suvabo shatarashel amiso b'chomiso shat yochel amiso. How do I know that if you're unable, I don't know, there's no swords available, but there's like, I don't know, sledgehammers or something. So how do I know that you can use that? Is that the point? Maybe. Tamlomar, most you must mikomak, and you shall surely kill him. What, you can even kill him with like a sledgehammer? Wow. Yizog bochets, or letovo, you could drown it. Wow. Says Rashi, right? Shem iato yochel amisub misaksubo, panusayef, which is a sword, could go and try it by svino voreach, if he was running away on a boat. Viato yochel lizog bochets, you can shoot him with an arrow, or letovo, or to drown him. Wow. Most you must, so. Okay, mikomokam, however you do it. Hakisake, ein li elo ba'koa k'suva bo'ed. So when it comes to an irani dachas, right? So an irani dachas is a city that too many people are worshipping avodah zarah. So you have to kill everybody by the sword. All I know is about sword. Minanche im I ato yochel la'amisa ba'koa k'suva bo'ed shata rashi la'amisa b'chol ha'koa shata yochel. I don't know that if there are no swords available, you can use other ways of killing them. Tamil mahakasaka mikomakum, it says, however you gotta do it. Toshiv. When it talks about accepting a collateral, right? If you loan somebody money, we're going to learn about this, I think, later in Bava Metzia, that if you loan somebody money and you take a collateral, so let's say it's like a shirt or something, so you have to return that shirt for him to be able to use it, right? Okay, let's go right there for a little bit. In the Elisha Mashkino, Birishus Bezdin, so I only know about this halacha if you took the collateral, with Bezdin being part of it. Mashkino shelo birshus Bezdin minayin. I don't know if even Bezdin is not part of it, still the same halachas apply about returning it. Tamla mahoshiv toshiv mikomakim, you shall surely return it. Chabol sachbo, and this seems to be the same thing, that you shall return, so, you know, the collateral to the person. In the Elisha Mashkino birshus, all I know is if he took this collateral with permission. I assume that this is talking about permission of Bezdin. Where am I? Mashkil Shalob Rishus Minayin. I don't know that even without the Rishus of Bezdin that you still take this, you still return it. Tamil Machabol Sachbol Mikol Mokom, that you have to give it back to him in any scenario. Okay, right. So Chabol, well, I'm going to read this again. Chabol Sachbol. So I just looked at the article quickly. So it says to procure. So you shall surely procure, but in that scenario, you have to return it to the person. In the Shmashkil Rishus. So if that's only with the rishus of Bezdin, mashkin shelo rishus minayin. I don't know, even if it's without Bezdin, you still have to return it. Tamlo mechabel sachbol, shall surely procure, so that in that scenario you also have to return it. Mikomak mani treikor elamali. Okay, so now why do I need both of these? Chaluk susyom, chaluk suslaila, one for a day garment, one for a night garment. Meaning, okay, so here we go. So this is what I was getting at, or I wanted to kind of get to, which is that if it's a daytime garment, so then you can kind of have it as collateral at night, but you're going to have to give it back to him to wear during the day. If it's a nighttime garment, so you can hold it as collateral during the day, but you're going to have to give it back in order for him to use that at night. So we need these two verses, right? Hashiv Toshiv and Chabol Sachbol to teach both about a daytime garment and a nighttime garment. Pasuach Tiftach, you shall surely open up your hand to give tzedakah. In the elah laniyah irchad, I only know to the poor people in your city. Laniyah iracheres minan. How do I know that you even have to help out people in other cities? Tamlam, but pasuach tiftach mikomakum, you shall surely open up your hands. Nason titain, you shall surely give. In the elah matonim ruba, all I know is a large gift. Wait, what? It's a tzedakah to give like a lot of money. Matona muetes minayin. How do I know even something small? Tamlo menosun tite mekomakum. You shall surely give. Yeah, in any size. Hanik sanik. That by an eved ivri, it says that when the eved ivri goes free, so you give him severance and you give him stuff. Ainli elosh and his baruch haba is biglalu manikim. All I know is that if while the eved ivri was there, he brought blessing to the house, then you have to give him severance. Lo is baruch haba is biglalu. But if the house was not blessed on account of the eved ivri, minayin? I don't know that. Still, you have to give severance. Ta'ulam mahanik sanik mikomakum. You shall surely give sevenths, even if there was no blessing. So according to Belozer ben Azariah, who says that no, only if there was blessing, right? Because the pasuk says, what does the pasuk say? Biglala davra azei vorechacha. Wait, what? No, not this. Hanik sanik lo mitzoncha migonicha mikvecha sheberachacha Hashem lokecha titen lo. That which God blessed him, blessed you, give to him. So meaning, so Elazar ben Azariah says, look, only if there was blessing in the house does he get the sevenths, but if there was no blessing, he doesn't. So why do I need the double lashon? So dibur Torah k'lashon b'nei adam. Well, it's just a way that normal people speak, right? There's a gemara we learn some mesach the kiddushin, right? Normal people, they just say hanik sanik. Havet avitenu shall surely lend to him. Ain li elisha ain lo virotza lis parnes. So all I know is that you should lend to somebody who doesn't himself have the money, and he also doesn't want to sort of accept donations. He wants to take a loan, so you give him a loan. Amar Rachman atein lo derech avos, so give him a loan. Yesh lo ve'ein erotz this panis, but a person who has the money, but he does and he doesn't want to receive any kinds of donations. No, sorry, he doesn't want to support himself with his money. So, whoa. The first case is talking about somebody who doesn't have money, but he also doesn't want to be supported with donations, so give him a loan. But how do you know the person who does have money, but he doesn't want to use his own money? So, how do you know you can still give him a loan? Tamalom etavitenu mikomokim, you shall surely give him a loan. Reb Shimon de Omar, yesh lo ve'inerotza l'spanes, ain his kokin. Low. And according to Shimon, who says that if he has the money but he doesn't want to use it, so we don't have to give him a loan. Tavitenu lomali, so why do I have the double lashon? Dibitorik lashon b'nei odom is just the normal way that people talk. Alright, I'm going to hold it here. I'm exhausted. I'm going to stop here because I do want to, I'm not considering this daf done because I do want to get up to the Mishnah, but I haven't done it yet. I'll do that today. It's right before Shabbos, but I'll do it, I guess, on Sunday. It's just a little bit further. Says the Mishnah, Yabotum and Asela, Lo Yomalo, Tainli Sela, and No Sin Lo, Scharu Kefoil. Okay, fine. So if, okay, so the guy, okay, the finder, he is like doing work, right? He's like a lawyer or something like that. And as a lawyer, he charges a certain amount per hour or whatever. Now, the thing is, he's going to be stopping to do his work in order to return this thing. So the question is like, so now what? Meaning the lawyer is a lawyer, right? He charges by the hour and this is his job. This is what he likes to do. His normal day, he works, let's say 8 hours a day and, he works for 8 hours and this is what he does. But now you're asking him to stop doing what he does in order to go return a lost object. You know, normally he charges, a certain amount per hour. Now he's going to be charging, now he's not going to be making that kind of money, because he's busy returning a lost object. So I bought him an asela. So if normally he would, make a sela every single hour as a lawyer, lo yomai lo, so he can't say tainli sela. So he can't say, look, well, I forfeited a sela in order to return the lost object, therefore you have to pay me a sela. Elanosin lo, scharu kefoil. Rather, he gets paid like a worker. The question is, what exactly does that mean? So tana nosin lo, scharu kefoil, bottle. You pay him like a worker who's not working. But my kefoil bottle, what do you mean by like a worker who's not working? He is. The finder is not doing nothing. He's busy returning an object. He's not doing nothing. So Rabbi Kefal bottle shall also malacha the bottle mina. Okay, like a poil bottle of the malacha that like a lawyer who's not working. What does this mean? So Be'etzim, what it means, it's hard to read it exactly into the words, but Be'etzim, what I understand that it means is that Okay, so this guy's a lawyer, okay? And he bills by the hour, one sella every single hour, okay? I think a sella is like 4 dinars, okay? So he charges a sella every single hour. So now, the question is like this. Look, he's a lawyer. He likes being a lawyer. There's a reason why he's a lawyer. He's a lawyer because, as a lawyer, he knows that he could bill a sella for every single hour, and that's worth it for him, and, you know, and this is how he spends his days working to make a living, expecting that every single hour he's going to make a sella. Now, let's say you say to him, look, you're a lawyer. Being a lawyer is difficult. You have to use your brain. You have to sit in an office. How about this? How about for an hour, put aside your lawyer hat and take a much easier job. Go outside, take a walk down the block, and return an object to somebody who lost it. It's a much easier job, you know, and do that instead. He'll say, okay, look, I mean, I get it. It's nice. It's easier. You know, it's easier than being a lawyer, but it doesn't pay as well. And like, there's a reason why part of the reason why I'm a lawyer is because I could be making a sella every single hour. You know, a person walking something down the block, maybe it's nice. He could be outside. It's easier. It's not particularly strenuous, but it's not going to pay what I want to get paid. So we say, okay, fine. How about this? What if we meet you in the middle? Is there a price that would be worth it for you to stop being a lawyer for an hour and instead be a lost object returner for an hour? Get outside. It's much easier. Take a walk down the block. And, you know, let's say if instead of making a sella during this sort of more chilled out hour, what if we, you know, normally let's say a person who walks something down the block would make a dinar, which is a quarter of a sella. What if maybe, what if we gave you 3 dinars? What if we gave you 3 dinars? So it wouldn't be quite be the sella that, right, that you would get as a lawyer. But then again, you're also basically able to take a break, let's say for an hour. And so what if for you to take a break for an hour and to walk something down the block, instead of your normal sella that you would make, we would pay you 3 dinars, so 3/4 of what you would make. Would you be willing to do that? And you say, yeah, okay, I'd be willing to do that. So that is what he can get paid, right? It's basically the amount that he would be willing to take to be batel from being, to not be a lawyer for an hour, and instead to be a lost object returner for an hour. Whatever that amount that he would be willing to take to stop being a lawyer for an hour, that is what he's entitled to. Okay, fine. All right, where are we? Okay, so going back to our lawyer friend. So we said that what he's entitled to is the amount that he would be willing to accept to, you know, walk something down the block for an hour. But we said that if there are, so Rashi, I think on the Mishnah made it sound like just any 3 people that are there, right? Rashi had said, right? What did Rashi say? Im yesham shlosha bnei adam yasne b'fneim v'yomar. That's what Rashi says on the Mishnah. So it sounds like if there's just 3 people there, he can say to them, look, 3 people, I'm a lawyer. I charge a sella for every hour that I'm busy working, and that is what I expect to receive for the amount of time, for the hour that it takes to return this lost object. I'm only willing to do it for a sella. So he can do that, okay? So if there's 3 people there, he says to them, so interestingly, it sounds like he says to them, look, I'm letting you know, 3 people, Bezdin, that I am going to return this lost object, but I do expect to get paid my full sella. So interestingly, it sounds like he can do that, and then the loser will have to pay him that full sella, which is interesting. Okay. So Isser v'Rav Safra, Ovid Isko Bade Adadi. So Isser and Rav Safra, they went into business together, right? They bought a bunch of merchandise and they went into business, okay. It came time for the business to go their separate ways. Right? They were done working together. So, also Rav Safra, Polagle, below Daite de Isser. So Rav Safra went and he divided up the assets. And he did this without Isser's knowledge. Okay, he went and he got an evaluation for the assets, and you know, he was going to take, based on the evaluation, he was going to take 50% and leave the rest of it for Isser. So by trade, he did this in front of two witnesses, not in front of a Bezdin, but in front of two witnesses. Okay, that the witnesses would just be there to testify that this happened in a fair and square manner. Also, the case came before Rabbi Bar Funa, because it's not, I guess Isser was not happy that Rav Safra just went and evaluated it, you know, without his knowledge, and you know, he wasn't. I guess Isser was not convinced that this was done fairly. So Amalei, so Rabbi Bar Funa says Zil Aisi Tlosa De Paldas Kamai. So Rabbi Bar Funa says, okay, well, Rav Safra, surely you must have made this division in front of three judges. So bring those three judges, you know, and let them, you know, confirm that this was done fairly and squarely. Inami, alternatively, Trey Migotlasa. Alternatively, at least bring two of the three judges so that they can, you know, they will serve as witnesses that this in fact did happen in front of them plus a third. Vinami, alternatively, Trey Sadi de Palgas Baipe Beitlasa. Alternatively, bring two witnesses who can testify that you had divided this up in front of three judges. Okay, so Be'etzem, it sounds like Rabbi Bar Funa's expectation was that this needed to have been done in front of a Bezdin. Omar Le Menolacha. So Rav Safra says to Rabbi Bar Funa, says, wait, hold your horses. Three judges? Where are you getting this from? So Omar Le. So Rabbi Bar Funa says, well, did not. Well, we learned in our Mishnah by Hashava Saveda, Im Yesh Shom Bezdin, that if there is three people there, if there's a Bezdin over there, so Masna Bifnein, that so then the finder makes this Tanai in front of them and says, look, I'm expecting that the loser is going to pay me a full Sela, which is what I normally make in an hour. So I expect that I will be paid a Sela, and then that works. So it sounds like Batson's idea is that whenever there is going to be financial implications for a third party, in the case of Hashava Saveda, it's going to be the loser who's now going to have to pay a full Sela. So that has to be done in front of Bezdin. So here also, Rav Safra is dividing up this merchandise, and obviously it has implications for Isser, and therefore it would have to be done in front of three. Ain Sham Bezdin Bifnei Miyasne Shalokodem. Okay, fine. Beseder, if there's no Bezdin over there, so then he can just keep on working. Fine. So now Amarle Midami, to which Rav Safra says, wait, but these cases are not analogous. Also, Demapik Mamona Mehai Umosiv Lahai Boin and Bezdin. Look, in our Mishnah, where the finder, you know, he's making the loser pay him a Sela. That's like some pretty serious stuff. So that needs to be in front of Bezdin, right? Meaning the finder expects that the loser is going to have to pay him a full Sela for his time. Like, that's a pretty serious thing. And therefore, that has to be done in front of Bezdin. But over here, Didi Shakli, Gili Milsa Ba'amu, Betray Sagile. Whereas if Safra argues that in this case, this is literally, I own 50% of the merchandise, I'm just taking my own things. I shouldn't have to do that in front of three judges, I should just need to do that in front of two witnesses who can attest to the fact that this was done fairly and squarely, and that's all that we should need. Teda d'tnan, after all, you should know that we learned in the Mishnah, Amone mocheres shelo b'fnei bezdin, ho-ho. If you have a widow, right, that her husband passed away, and of course it says in the ksube, that if he passes away, she will be supported from his estate. Now he has sons, and the sons inherited the estate, but she is permitted to be supported from the estate. And it says that she can sell mocher shel b'fnei bezdin. She could sell from the estate in order to get cash to pay for her food. And you don't need a bezdin for that. How come? Because it's her own stuff. She has a right to this. She has a right to be supported from the estate, and therefore she could sell it without bezdin. So here also, Rav Safra is arguing that, you know, half of the merchandise belongs to him. He's evaluating it and taking it. So Amar Le, and therefore two witnesses should suffice. Amar Le Abaye says to Rav Safra, One second. You're seriously, you're bringing a proof from that Mishnah. Didn't we learn about that Mishnah? Amar Rav Yosef, Amar Yomi, Amar Rav Nachman. Amone eino tzricha bezdin shel mumchin. Then Amano might not require a bezdin of experts, aval tzricha bezdin shel ejotis, but she would require a bezdin of just regular people at the very least. So I mean, yeah. So don't bring a proof from there that you should be able to get away without three. Because actually there, she does need three. They might not have to be experts, but they need to be people. They need to be three people. All right, friends, that was Daf Lamed Aleph from Masechet Bava Metzia. Hope you enjoyed. Peace out.